For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thank you. Hello again, fellow basement dwellers. This is your good friend and best part-time co-host of Bandwagon Nerds, Patrick O'Dowd, welcoming you into another edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Bandwagon Nerds is, of course, brought to you by the Chairshot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And I am very, 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 very excited to be with you this week before disappearing again next week. Because, gentlemen, I'm not going to be here next week. The fuck? I know. You know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be hanging out with the mouse. That's right. I am going back to Disney World. I can't get enough of it. And here's the other thing. Another co-host. The other OG co-host. My good friend. He's here today. The lawyer, David Ungar. Dave. Where are you going to be next week when we record Bandwagon Nerds?
I'm going to be hanging out with the mouse on the other side of the country, so I think it's a good time for a conference call, Tutty. A Disney-based conference call.
That is a coast-to-coast
conference call.
Boom, ho, ha, ho, ha, ha.
Is that really what's happening?
I told you last week that was what was happening.
I was drinking.
There's our good friend, studio audience, Mr. Saturday Night, DC Tutty. Hanging over there.
You better start drinking, right? Start drinking now that he heard that. He's like, well, time to switch from water.
And then down with Mr. DPP, the scientist, back as well, down in the basement studio, the best of the basement studios, if I do say this so myself. What's going on? Are those Legos behind you today?
Oh, just a few.
Just a few? Little
I don't want to pan over and see the rest of the nonsense that is the Lego room.
I'm concerned about if we ever have to have a Lego room in the O'Dowd household, because it's growing. Like, he's now hit that phase where some of the Lego kits, Yeah, that's a lot of Lego. Look at all that. That's amazing. Some of the Lego sets are for display only. And you don't touch the for display only Lego kits. Like, if you touch the Haunted Mansion Lego kit. Oh, why are you messing with the Haunted Mansion or the Storm? He's got a Captain Rex clone trooper helmet he needs to make. He hasn't made that one yet. He's got the dark trooper helmet from the Mandalorian. He made that one. He's got the Captain Rex one that he hasn't made yet, but That's neither here nor there.
Pat, do they have like a Lego store at Disney Springs? I don't remember.
Yes, okay. They do. They have a Lego store at Disney Springs where the little O'Dowd dropped $12 to create his own personalized minifig. That's the highlight. Is you can go and you wait in line. Here's the thing. It's a little anticlimactic. I'm not going to lie he had a blast because you go in there, you got this little computer monitor and you can set the features of your figure. You can give him a t-shirt design and all these looks and stuff. Then you pick out like the character's hair and accessories. And then they like 3D print the Lego minifig for you. And they give it a little box to put it in. He's got his own Lego minifig that he made at Disney Springs. And what I think is hilarious, as I see DP being like, tell me more about this. Let me hear more.
He already does that. He already 3D prints his own Lego.
I have my own 3D printer in the back room there.
Ooh, look at me. I'm Mr.
Make things happen.
I got science stuff.
As a number one villain, I figured like you and him would be made for each other, you know?
But the thing that I always find this fascinating, as Dave is getting back-to-back Disney talk, so we talked a little Disney on Hockey Talk, and Tony, I think there's a Disney podcast between myself and Dave out there someday if we ever get tired of musical chairs. But Tony's like, whatever. It's entertaining.
Do it. Great. Awesome. Book it.
We'll see what happens.
You've been green-lighted.
Green-lit. There you go.
You have my blessing.
But anyway, it always cracks me up because... And I say this as somebody who is a grown ass man who kind of considers himself a Disney adult, but some of the grown children men that like will like shove smaller children out of the way to get their toy fix on at a fucking Disney Springs store you're an embarrassment, random fat dude shoving child out of the way.
Well,
get the perfect hair for your minifig. Like, what's wrong with you?
The least you can do is give us some commentary from that random fat guy's point of view.
No, because he doesn't have a retainer. And I know that's what you're looking
for.
Oh,
come on.
Efficient. You got to do better than that. You got to do better than that. So we'll get
deprived the listeners.
Next week, who knows? You never know. You can't just ask for Retainer Boy and expect him to show up. Like, he shows up when he wants to show up. When he gets really mad about something, he'll show up. That's how it works.
Sounds like a time for Retainer Boy.
Oh, he should have theme music. Anyway, we'll work on that. And it's all just going to be like heavy breathing, something like that. It'll be weird. It's got to be uncomfortable.
It'll be like the Friday the 13th theme, but kind of fucked up.
Yes. It'll be messed up. But,
are we literally workshopping Retainer Boy here?
I mean, we don't have much on the agenda.
I love it.
Podcast
I love it.
Today I because it. Patrick O'Dowd. We're here. It's April 7th as we're recording this. Obviously, we'll drop tomorrow. And on April 6th, Patrick O'Dowd did the unthinkable and sent a message to the Bandwagon Nerds DM thread and was like, not going to have a rundown today, fellas. To which PC Tunney replied, Invincible Superhero Madness, end of show. And that's going to be our show, basically. There will be, I think there was like one trailer of any sort of interest. And I can't even remember.
Tales of the Empire, the Star Wars thing, right?
Yes, the Star Wars miniseries, Tales of the Empire, which looks cool.
What about the other Henry Cavill movie that's about to come out, where he is like a secret agent back in one
you,
of the
you mean,
like,
you mean world... the one that we covered like a month and a half ago?
When we did we cover it a month and a half ago?
We did. We very much covered that show. Because anytime Henry Cavill's on there, I got to make sure our boy Dave gets his little man crush on, especially with that little curly mustache.
I mean, let me guess, Tony. Let me guess. You were drinking, right?
Fuck, Dave. Come on. I mean, let's just use our heads here. Obviously that's got to do better than Argyle, right?
Argyle did not do well. So yeah, I don't know that it'll do any worse than that, but it looks entertaining. Like when we talked about it in the, we talked about it on the trailer park about a month and a half ago, look for it in the archives where we have not tagged it in any way, shape or form. So good luck. But, it looks like a lot of fun. It looks like an Inglourious Bastards esque sort of movie, which should be a good time. But yeah, there's just, you know, we're almost to summer season. Summer movies are coming. what you're watching is coming. I'm kind of glad we're taking, like, Dave and I are not going to be here next week, and I am intrigued, we'll say intrigued, to see the direction the show takes next week. Might be a little nervous.
Edition of a winner is you, right, DP?
Got some games you can talk about.
There are
not very good.
None of them are very good.
Kill the Justice League.
Kill the Justice League.
They had a major issue, didn't they, with Kill the Justice League? Something happened this week.
I was so red hot on it.
It was developed and reduced.
It was something like, I don't know, some weird characters got added that weren't supposed to be added or something odd like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, we're also recording this, you know, April 7th. We're also recording on the biggest wrestling related weekend for the network. And we talked about David and I talked about this also when you listen to Hockey Talk Tomorrow. Like, it's April 7th. Night one of WrestleMania has already happened. We're just waiting very patiently to crown Cody Rhodes at the end of WrestleMania Night 2. Tony's saying, I don't know. I feel like set it up so hard if they don't, even I would have to be like, I couldn't even be the snarky chair shot villain if Cody lost. I'd be like, this is a bad decision at that point. Like, usually I can see it. It'll take something pretty special for me to see it this time around. But yeah, all of that led us to this, where here we are. Before we get into talking about the season finale of Invincible Season 2, I did want to go back to last week and just note that, one, I think Shazam could kick the shit out of Black Panther.
Thank you.
And that Shazam would obliterate Black Panther.
Thank you.
And that Black Panther would be a pile of ash inside the little vibranium suit that he gets through. He's not invulnerable. Like, I think there's a confusion that, like, Black Panther would just be fine. No, I'm sorry. He's not.
Vibranium is not invulnerable either. So,
exactly. Also, Doctor Strange, woefully underseated. Like, I'm going to say this now, because I may not be, who knows if I'll be on the show when we get to this part. Doctor Strange is my pick to win the bracket. Win that bracket. Mirror Dimension. You're done.
You'll just goodbye. Have to tune in. You'll just have to tune in to find out what happens, Patrick.
Dormammu, find out if Patrick's on the show.
Yeah, PC Tunney. Yeah. I'm here to bargain.
Smartest motherfucker in the room, and Mirror Dimension. And I'm still trying to figure out how Miles Morales doesn't end up in this tournament at all. And then I asked Ray
or Green Arrow.
Ray did say live action only. He did say live action only. To which I say poo poo.
Even though Dave's been
including poo-poo on that.
I told him, and he's like, yeah, if you want to do it, because there's no. He pretty much said they were including anything on TV, right, when we first started. So I don't know how Miles isn't part of this.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot going on there. But this is probably the most interesting and contested bracket to discuss, as we are covering Aliens. Oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. And we're going to get to it later on in the show. We're going to start, though, by wrapping up Season 2 of Invincible with episode 8. And I'm gonna fall back to what I heard. I actually skipped when I listened to the show. I skipped this section of last week's show because I had not had a chance to watch episode 7 and I didn't want anything spoiled. The one thing I did catch before I could get it skipped, as I was trying to like skip along and wasn't trying to miss it, is Dave said something along the line of all this Viltrumite stuff is gonna like come to a head, and then it didn't in season 8. It didn't at all.
No.
What they did, and this is honest to God, this goes back to what I think is the best thing about this show, and what I truly appreciate and love about this show, is that it really does a terrific job of weaving multiple story arcs and threads simultaneously throughout a program, to where some threads will end while others are ongoing and new ones begin. And in this one, it has always been about, Angstrom. And because he is what opened season 2, like the whole incident with Invincible Angstrom and all the different versions of Angstrom throughout the year, where the science experiment that goes wrong, he has shown up for revenge. He has Debbie and, was it Owen?
Oliver.
Is that his name?
Oliver.
Started with Oliver. He have some more. Debbie and Oliver, he has them captive. He is challenging Invincible. And the first segment of the show, the first third of the show, is their fight that ultimately ends with Mark breaking in another dimension and killing Angstrom. Now, there's a whole lot that goes on in between that as we sort of unpack the dude. But this then really reframes the entire episode. And Dave, I gave you a hard time. I did watch two of the special features and the bonus features in Amazon. And one of the shorts was Robert Kirkman talking about how season two, the theme is trauma. And this episode ends with a massive piece of Mark dealing with the trauma of taking a life, which he has never done in this show. Like, this is the first time it's broken in a way where he's killed somebody out of rage and lost control. It was very powerful. And then the back half of the show is really him just coming to terms or trying to come to terms with it and reconcile it. And he makes the final decision that he is going to be, he's leaving college. He's going to be a superhero full time and his mom can't talk him out of it. And yeah, that's where we kind of leave off with Mark is, and in the end of it all, and I'm sure you guys will mention this. He's finally single for now. But as he looks for someone to sort of help him work for this, he goes to Eve. He finds Adam Eve. This after the revelation of future Adam Eve, who is the one who gets him out of that dimension, sends him back home, that she loves him, has always loved him. He goes back to her. He hasn't said anything to her yet, but we are now on that path, which is true to the comics. I also learned at the end of this episode that I'm just never going to assume a hero's dead. Like ever. No, like ever since the first episode of this goddamn series, a hero doesn't fucking die. Somebody stay dead. I was fine with Duplicate being dead. I was fine. And then boom, there she is in the cabin. I'm not dead. I've been fine this whole time because I got tired of dying. So I sent all these clones and I've been hiding myself. Fuck that. Whatever, Kate. Should be dead. That's all I got. Dave.
I think the reason I watched that behind the scenes stuff was because when this episode ended, I was like, is that really how we're going to end season two? That just seems kind of like it's powerful, but it just seemed like, wow, there's so many things unresolved. So I started watching the behind the scenes things and got to episode 8 and realized, yeah, that is how they're going to end it. But when you listen to Kirkman talking, he's playing up season 3 so big that you start realizing, okay, this was a bigger, there's always been a bigger plan. You know, it's the story hasn't been told. It's very similar to the Bloodline sort of story being played out in front of you. But this was a really, really powerful.
Hold up one second. Folks, for those of you who keep track, 17 minutes and 20 seconds before Dave brought up a pro wrestling reference during the comic show.
This is a really powerful season finale for different reasons. Like you're saying, Pat, this is all about trauma and Mark. But honestly, Mark's been dealing with PTSD since his dad beat the shit out of him at the end of season 1. So this whole season has really been about Mark trying to reconcile all these various things that he's dealing with. The feelings of the loss of his father, trying to balance be a college student and, you know, failing spectacularly through no fault of his own, his relationship with Amber, his being stranded in a dimension after he kills Angstrom Levy because he thought he'd be stronger, Eve's revelation to him, how that impacts him. You could go on and on or really psychoanalyze the whole thing. But at the end, it's all about trauma. It's about Mark coming to terms with who he actually is. How does he, to me, it felt a lot like, this would be like talking to Superman after he killed Zod in Man of Steel. How do you feel about that? And he says a lot of the same thing Superman would say. I had no choice. I had to do it. And this is a bigger kind of like, looking at Mark in a different way, but there's that. And then we can talk the Omni-Man and Alan conversation at the end, but I'll cede the floor to anybody else at this point.
Yeah. I kind of feel like we're getting a shift in characters and who the, kind of bad guy versus good guy type of thing with between Mark and Nolan. Like it almost seems like there's a shift where Nolan's coming to terms with just, I miss my family. Like he wants to just maybe go back to Earth and live a normal life kind of guy. And now Mark is, you know, made his kind of first kill and is trying to come to grips with that. And, you know, is his anger or whatever going to take over and he become what Nolan became and be a just kind of more of a villain type of character or something like that? It leads to a lot of questions as we go into season three. I was kind of interested the way they ended it too. Like, it seemed like there was going to be something bigger, and I didn't read any of the, I didn't listen to any of the behind the scenes stuff, but it did seem like there was going to be something bigger. And it's just like they're getting right to the point of setting up this battle with the Viltrumites, like you mentioned, Dave, earlier. Like, they just haven't started it yet, but you know, obviously the kind of the almost final seeds are being planted to start that battle.
Yeah, they really set the table. This is a table setter for season three in a lot of ways, and that's okay.
Well, but that's what the show does, though. Like, the show is always setting a table for the next thing, and it's been run really, really well. It's run like this is probably the closest I've seen to a series running like a comic book, if that makes sense. Like, the way you would read comic book issues, like things that would come up and just sort of manifest. And I think if you were to go back, I haven't done it yet, but I may go back and watch the season finale of season one, because I feel like it was very similar in that, you know, we were left with shit hanging, but there was also resolution to what we started. And so that's a very important piece to what I think runs really well with comic books in general. And that's when you end a story arc in a comic book. It's always an end of a story arc with a lead to the next thing. One thing is resolved. What's the next problem the hero is going to face? So from that, in that respect and from that regard, I really, really appreciate the show and the series. And yes, this Viltrumite thing is happening. It's going to come to a head. The question is, when will it come to a head? And I can't wait to see what happens. Tony, you haven't spoken yet. Highlights to you from this.
First thing I can't wait to see next season is Alan and Omni-Man escaping. right. I love the telepathic connection that they have. They can talk to each other without anybody hearing. Was really fun. You know, I brought this up a number of times, is Invincible willing to go that far? And he did it without having control of it. And I think that's what's bothering him the most. You know, it's like it wasn't something he did because he decided in his mind that it was the only way necessary. It's something he did because he just snapped because he was angry. And that part with his mom on the roof where he's like, the best thing I can do right now is to get better. And by better, he meant being able to control his emotions and continue to be the person that he wanted to be, to not be what his father did. It's also interesting, though, in his father, one of the last things he says is, I think I miss my wife. I'm really, really looking forward to that interaction where he plays the groveling doghouse husband. That could be very interesting, to say the least, considering he has the card of being able to go see his son, who now thinks that she is more of a mother figure than he's ever had. So all of that next year is going to be ridiculously awesome, or whenever this comes out. But as far as the brain guy goes, that was okay. A little played out, a little long for me. You knew that he wasn't going to win. But it is interesting, though, that did turn into the note of seeing how Invincible would handle himself and now what we're going to get mentally from him moving
forward. Absolutely. Okay. I want to talk about one other thing when it comes to the show. And this is an appreciation. I feel like I'm doing a big Invincible appreciation podcast today. This is only the second comic book and series that's gone full meta repeatedly that I've enjoyed, the other one being Deadpool. And I'm actually gonna harken back to episode 7-2 for this one, because the animation jokes that they made during the Comic-Con bit, like, I'm sure you guys talked about it. Again, I skipped it in the show because I didn't want to be spoiled, but that had me dying. Well, today's episode, the universes and clowning on Spider-Man, clowning on Batman.
Yes.
What, like, so wait, so you're you don't you dress like a bat and you're a man, I don't know, man. It just sounds kind of lazy. Like, that was brilliant. I was just like, that was hilarious. Like, he's just like so harsh and on Batman, and his name is great. And then the Spider-Man thing was just outstanding. Like, it was just outstanding. As a Spider-Man fan, I was like, how are they gonna mock this? What are they gonna, you know? And I'm assuming that he was Arachnaman. You know, he left WCW to become, there's my wrestling reference, at 2509. That Arachnaman, yes, Arachnaman left Turner to start fighting crime against an old man with an octopus helmet. That was great stuff.
And Kirkman pokes fun at himself. The whole Walking Dead thing, Walking with the Dead meat instead of brains. It's like, all right, yeah, I get it. That's fine. But we noted that last week. And in one of the behind the scenes, if you watch the behind the scenes stuff, Kirkman was talking about how when in the comics, they made fun of like comic writers and kind of like pulled the curtain back on that. And then this, he flipped it to, you know, animation shortcuts and that sort of thing. So yeah, he stayed really true to the comics, but just modified it or modernized it in a few places.
He really did. And the other thing that I love is that for all of the ridiculous violence, over the top stuff, by the way, it's funny, Invincible blowing a dude's face up and just being covered in blood didn't do anything to me. Debbie's arm getting snapped in half and just that stump, I'm like, oh God. And it's like, it's a cartoon. And I'm like, oh my God, don't know.
There was a weird,
but did they have that?
Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask you guys, like, did you see the similarity between the season finales? You know, Mark covered in Angstrom's blood at the end here, mirroring, like, you know, Omni-Man covered in his son's blood at the end of season one. So there's some parallels that they're drawing, obviously, but
yeah,
it was subtle, but a lot of this episode was just, there's subtle things that they did really, really well. And yeah, we didn't get the big showdown, but it was done so well, it doesn't really matter.
I was expecting to see Oliver, like a power emerge from him.
Right. I was too. Absolutely. Yeah. To get back to the point I was making though before we went off on that, we have all this like crazy heavy shit going on. And then yet the show still finds a way to take time to throw in some levity and some humor and some fun. And given this material, like, you know, Alan he's a serious character, but he's got a comedic element to kind of lighten the tone. These meta moments in the series are done to lighten the tone and to take it easy, because there is so, like, can you just imagine if this was a trauma fest for 8 episodes? This is one of the things that I realized with The Boys. Like, sometimes I struggle with The Boys because you have to have a certain sense of humor to really like not be bothered by it, like at all.
I think part of it is, the part of it is, though, like you just mentioned it, where Invincible beats this guy to death and is covered in his blood and it doesn't really bother you, but his mom gets her arm broken and it bothers you. And I think that's because as we watch this, we also compartmentalize into, that's a superhero meta character, that's a human character, that affects me a little bit more than the meta side, you know, and maybe that's just subconsciously too.
Yeah, I it's hard to put a finger on why that particular moment of violence was the one where I was like, oh.
Because it's a lot more realistic to you to have your arm broken than you be covered in someone else's blood after beating their brains literally into, you know.
You don't know my private life. You don't know what I do in my free time.
Don't look strong enough to splatter blood that far.
You don't know. You don't know. Okay.
The background on his image there on Skype, because we don't want to see what's actually really happening in the background.
Under your powers in Wikipedia are like silencing, muting people on Skype. And the power of K, that's your two abilities.
Oh, I'm glad to know that, you know, is the place to that. I say, okay, it's fine. It's fine. That's the other one I like to say. It's fine. What else is fine is that we're going to head into our first commercial break. And when we come back, we are going to tackle the first round of our final region in the Superhero Madness tournament, the aliens in the comic book universe. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be very, very exciting. And everybody, shit on Superman. just to make Dave Ongar sad. That's what we're going to do. And you can come back and hear that in just a little bit. You're listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, everyone, to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com. Patrick O'Dowd, PC Tunney, Scientist TPP, and David Ongar coming at you hot. Make sure you head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Invest in a chair shot shirt. Tunney, are we still sponsored by that gambling business? We still do that? Is that still a thing?
Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT. There you go.
There you go. You can lose money like I did betting on the University of Illinois to be competitive against the University of Connecticut. Oh.
Well, there's a lesson learned, folks. Don't bet on Illinois.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
It got so bad I had to put on Facebook, I'm fine, everybody. Stop sending me messages. Like, not, as I'm watching a 30-point beatdown. It was brutal.
Yeah, it's not like UConn has 11 straight tournament wins by 10 or more points. No big deal.
Right. Alabama at least looked almost like they tried. I don't know. Fuck it. Anyway. That's neither here nor there. We're going to talk about important madness stuff here, not the March Madness stuff, the superhero madness. We are heading into this final region. I forgot to mention, by the way, the man behind the tournament, not here today. There is no Raymond S. Cashington Esquire, the 7,476,292nd. Like, why did he not show up today?
Superman's a number one seed. That's why. He thought we wouldn't notice.
So now,
but we did.
Is
there any chance DP could notate the picks today?
That would be terrific, actually, if DP could. He's a scientist, too. He's a man of science and numbers. He can keep tallies. I will ask, however.
Thanks, buddy.
Get the pen.
Actually, I'm disappointed that it's not a composition book, like one of those little composition science notebooks that.
We have a friend, the general, actually, who uses grid paper consistently for every project.
Does he also sell cheap car insurance?
No, he does not.
He does not work with Shaq?
No, he's not the GPS.
You should have something that says the list of science and just click the pen like the good old days.
List. He's as bald as the general's helmet, though, I'll tell you that.
Oh, look at that. But yeah, so here we are, final region. I'm assuming that Ray chose this one for last because of things like our connections to Superman. These are also like a lot of this. When you think of your Omega level heroes, this is where you go for your Omega level heroes. Because my God, some heavy hitters in this bracket. It'll be very interesting to hear where we go. And so I will take on the burden, gentlemen, of running down the bracket, going through the matchups. I hear a rumor that Mr. Tunney perhaps has raised picks, so we will be able to turn the tide, and that should be a lot of fun to play out. I do like some of the matchups here. I wish Ray were here to kind of contribute some whys. I have Green Lantern questions, for example, but that's neither here nor there. We'll get to that in a second.
Do you have the revised matchup?
I do. But there's still a Green Lantern in the revised bracket. There's one instead of two.
There is. Right.
Yeah. I got you.
Just double check in. Just check.
Yeah. Don't tell me my business, Devil Woman. Okay. That's my gimmick, too. Why are you stealing my gimmick?
I don't know.
What's this shit?
My gimmick is making myself laugh.
Well, my gimmick is also booing people. Add that to the Wikipedia page if it's not on it.
I get it. You're upset. Ray's not here for you to kick around.
It's true. I miss Ray. I like Ray. Okay. let's get into this bracket. I'm going to cut down these seeds through this matchup. I'm going to do it a little bit differently than Ray, because he kind of goes through the matchup like he goes like one through 16. He just kind of lists them all out. I'm going to go by matchup and talk about it that way. And so we'll start right at the top of the bracket. Our number one seed, Dave has already alluded to it. His man crush, Henry Cavill, played him in a film. Christopher Reeve has played him in a film. Nicolas Cage finally got to play him in a film. We don't really talk about that one as much. That Ralph guy, Dean Cain, so many people have played this dude. Superman, number one seed. Taking on the number 16, Drax the Destroyer from the Guardians of the Galaxy. The number 8 seed is Hal Jordan, Green Lantern. Taking on the number 9 seed, Venom, the alien symbiote. Which I get that one. I'm gonna just ask this question now. Is the logic behind the Hal Jordan thing is that because the ring is an alien thing, like the Green Lantern Corps is an alien police keeping organization, and the ring is an alien item, that that's why he's in this category?
That's all I can think of. It's Owen Fair technology, enough. So it's an alien infused. I mean, you say the same thing about the number 4 seed that you're going to talk about in a minute. She's not an alien, but her powers are.
True. We'll get to the number four seed in a second. But first, we got to talk about the 5 seed, Martian Manhunter. No question about his alien nature there. Taking on Raven,
the concerns about the alien thing is like, Raven?
Well, but consider this. She grew up in a hell dimension. So she's alien to our planet. True. If we want to look at it by the... you know, the most definitive of definitions. Number 4, Captain Marvel, as Dave noted, a United States Air Force pilot who gets her powers, though, from alien technology from the Kree. Facing off against Gamora. Poor Gamora. I'm sorry. Spoiler alert. That was the number 13 seed. Number 6 seed is Supergirl, taking on the number 11 seed, Starfire.
Yeah. Yeah, there's another nice low rating for you. Supergirl, very underrated at 6.
I would argue Starfire is a little bit underrated, too, in the land of aliens. However, Thor, the mighty god of thunder, coming in as a 3 seed, taking on his fellow Asgardian Valkyrie as the 14 seed. Blue Beetle, alien technology, I get it. We have well established this now at this point, taking on the genetically engineered Rocket Raccoon at number 10. And then the number 2 seed, Wonder Woman, taking on the number 15 seed, Nebula. Thoughts on this bracket before we get into our conversation about matchups and who we like?
I was like, here comes Paul Pierce and Rafe LaFrance and Mario Chalmers and the whole Kansas alumni, because this one looks rock chalk Jayhawk, bitches.
Dave?
Yeah, I think Tunney's on to something here. I don't see a lot of room for upsets, but we'll see. Ray, looking at Ray's spreadsheet, I'm already raising my eyebrows at a few of these. Like, what? But that might make it interesting.
Okay. TP, anything to add here? Apparently, everybody feels like this is a pretty chalky bracket. You, of all of us, at least in the first round, you were the one who really flipped us on our ear a little bit with some of your picks.
Somebody had to do it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Are you going to do it again?
And I appreciate you for it.
You know, wish I would have been there to be able to argue my points, but, you know, it's all right.
Well, that sounds like a you problem, not an us problem. Like... when I don't get to argue my points, you know, next week, like, it'll be fine. If I, you know, if I make picks, I'll make picks. I'll make picks. All right. Let's get down to it. Let's get into this bracket. Let's hit our number 1 versus 16 matchup, Superman versus Drax the Destroyer. I'm assuming this is a clean sweep, but we'll go through the motions. What did Ray pick?
He picked Superman.
Ray chose Superman. DP.
I don't know what's so special about him, but I guess Superman. I've heard good things.
He's plucky. He's like he's like the Butler Bulldogs of this bracket. No, he's not at all. He's Duke. Or UConn in this case. Tunney.
I think Drax is funnier. But that's about it. Yeah,
and that's the thing. Drax is gonna think he's invulnerable to charge after Superman and attack him, and then Superman's gonna use his heat vision and melt him, and that's the end of the fight. Thanks for playing. Goodbye, Drax. Dave, wax poetic about how Henry Cavill is gonna look super handsome destroying Dave Bautista.
If it's Henry Cavill or Christopher Reeve, it doesn't matter. I want to tell Drax, if you thought Thanos was a problem, you're about to get a very rude awakening here. So yeah, it's what are you going to talk about? He doesn't even need to use heat vision. He'll just stand there and say, "Go ahead and hit me. I kind of like it. Ooh, that tickled." And then flick him into the next afterlife. So yeah,
fair enough. Easy, clean sweep victory from all of the nerds on that one round. In the 8-9 matchup number two, we got Hal Jordan versus Venom. I'm going to take the liberty of going first on this one. Hal Jordan figures out Venom's weakness, creates a bell, rings it. Venom gets detached. Game over. Like, this is an 8-9 matchup where the 9 sort of crawled in after the play-in game and was like a mid-major that had no right to be here anyway and loses. They're Virginia. That's who Venom is. Can't score and gets crushed. Dave. We'll go with you next.
See, this is where I wanted the clarification about whether animation was brought in, because if this is Venom versus Ryan Reynolds, Green Lantern, I was going to go with Venom. I really was, because that version of Green Lantern was just pathetically weak. But when I start thinking about DC animation and the versions of Hal Jordan that have shown up there in Emerald Knight or First Light or that sort of thing, or Justice League, then it plays right into what you're saying, Pat. Yeah. The power ring is one of the most powerful weapons in the existence of nerdosphere. In the entire universe of nerddom, the power ring is one of the most powerful weapons there is. If you bring that into consideration, Venom has zero chance. If it's just Ryan Reynolds, I was going to go Venom, but bringing everything into consideration, yeah, Green Lantern wins this easy.
DP.
Yeah, you mentioned the ring. You mentioned what Hal Jordan will figure out what to do, and he'll just do one of these. And, you know, that's what's going to happen. Like both your points, yeah. You know, it's can't argue any of that. That's exactly what would happen, I think.
1,000%. I got Green Lantern. Donnie?
It's a clean sweep. I think of really a powerful 8 seed in Hal Jordan, especially if we're fully wielding that ring there. I mean, this is a tough matchup for Superman in the second round, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it will. It'll be a tough matchup indeed. It'll be good stuff. But okay, so clean sweep there. I don't think this one is quite the walk that everybody else thinks. So our 5-12 matchup, Martian Manhunter versus Raven, but I'll defer to the panel and we'll start this time with DP. DP, your thoughts on this Martian Manhunter Raven matchup, for our 5-12.
I've got to be honest. I don't know a ton about both of them.
Martian Manhunter, in my opinion, is like the Vision is always like my comp, at least in terms of kind of the power set, what he does.
Yeah, that's kind of what I that's a good way to put it. Based on the powers that he seems to have and everything, like seems like that kind of character. I really don't know anything about Raven. My DC fandom is limited. So I took Martian Manhunter on this one. Or just fair probably enough, because I enough. Don't know Raven enough to think she would stand a chance.
That's cool. Tunny, how familiar are you with Martian Manhunter and Raven?
I'm fairly familiar with John Johns, not so much with Raven, but from the experiences I've had in recent years on Martian Manhunter being involved in different things I've watched, Martian Manhunter is a pretty fucking powerful being. So I'll be going with Martian Manhunter, while Ray will be picking Raven.
Excellent. Well, and since we already know how Dave votes, because he can't play poker with that terrible face, I also picked Raven. And here's why. Raven is the definition of untapped, earth-shattering potential with her hellish father. You know, and it's just one of those things. Like, how do I describe it? It's like the genie from Aladdin, phenomenal cosmic powers. Like, she can call upon demons from hell. Azrath, Metreon, Xynthos is the, you know, the popular magic words that she says to kind of conjure anything in like the Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go cartoons. She's also in the TV show Titans. It's all about her angst of not wanting to fall into her father's trap of being a demon just like him. But like, she commands the armies of hell if she wants to. And I think she gives Martian Manhunter a run. I do feel like upsets are necessary. And even though Dave, with his bored expression now, is going to disagree, Raven, in my opinion, wins. And it's fine if you pick the dude who's super ass boring at the tail end of the Zack Snyderverse. Justice League movie.
We do it. Mind control, Dave. Mind control.
Well, no. And that's the thing is you've got him. He does appear in the Arrowverse in quite a few places. He appears in DC Animation in quite a few places. He is arguably the most powerful telekinetic in the DC universe. Now, Raven's right there with, if he can suppress her enough to keep like those powers you're talking about, Pat, under control and mind control her, then you get to the point where you're looking at a character with Superman level strength against a teenage girl. And that's not going to fare too well. But I get what you're saying. And there's definitely an argument. I did not mean to make by any facial expressions say, oh, yeah, there's just a frivolous opinion. It's not. But I do think in a battle of telekinetics, he's got that Martian thing going on. How that reacts to what Raven can do, I don't know. I'd pay to see it. But I will go, all things being equal, he's infinitely stronger than her. And I'm going to give it to him on that. Once you balance everything out with the telekinetics and the mental stuff and the mysticism, then it's just a straight up strength battle. And yeah, John Johns wins that.
Fine. Fine. Now, all right, let's move, keep moving right along. Captain Marvel, the number 4 seed, taking on the number 13 seed, Gamora. This is another one. Captain Marvel is basically the MCU Superman right now, like straight up. And, you know, could beat Thanos on her own, was kicking the shit out of him until he got desperate and had to cheat using a power stone to punch her. She's going to squash Gamora like a bug. So I have moved Captain Marvel forward in my bracket. PC Tunney, what say you?
Yeah, Captain Marvel, for sure. This seemed like a mismatch to begin with. Captain Marvel seems unbelievably powerful, considering, like you said, what we've just seen, especially in the movie theaters. So, yeah, I got to go with Cap here.
Let's go with DP. We'll go with you next.
Yeah, it's hands down Captain Marvel. I mean, Mora's, you know, got strength and stuff like that, but really as far as
she's powers got swords. Go, she's got swords.
Yeah.
Stab you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Stabitha is going to get close enough to Captain Marvel.
Stabitha.
Yeah. Stabitha. Dave, what do you got?
Yeah. It's Captain Marvel. She's going to melt those swords before anything happens.
Okay,
with her cosmic power.
Anybody else feel like round 2 is going to be better than round 1 in this one?
Oh, absolutely. There's going to be some good fights in round 2.
In all of them. Right.
Okay. Because I'm assuming Ray went with Captain Marvel as well. Would that be accurate?
Accurate.
I will say, I also got the same document that you all did. I'm just 45 and don't understand tabs. So that's what happened there with this spreadsheet. Yeah, I'm just a simple caveman. I get confused by the loops and the crazy screens.
If you're smart enough, you could scroll all the way to the right and get a preview on what's starting off the list for villains in next year's bracket.
I noticed that, but I'm not touching it. I'm staying out. Staying out. More villains to come, so you never know.
Me. Did not even get it.
After the debate this week,
you douchebag.
Man.
I mean, you're the one who just sort of waltzed back into our lives, like, I just randomly. You're like, okay, I'm back.
You don't have it? Did you check your email?
I said no. Y'all could have said no.
Check your email.
We could have, but opened up, right? Ray wanted to take a break and you were available. So,
like,
you know,
like I'm that, like duplicate. No, I just wanted
like,
to.
You're like that ex-girlfriend who comes back in our lives and we just can't say no, man. That's it.
I mean, he was the player to be named later. That's kind of the way I was going with it. All right. Let's go to our 6-11 matchup here in the alien bracket. Supergirl versus Starfire. I will share that my knowledge of Starfire in this case definitely limited to what we see of her in Teen Titans, Teen Titans Go, which, by the way, favorite character in Teen Titans Go is Starfire. with her bizarre not understanding of Earth customs and her obsession with kitties. It's great, great stuff. However, in the Teen Titans Go, the Teen Titans cartoon, again, the most powerful member of the team, alien, just ridiculously over the top powers. However, it's Supergirl, who's basically Superman, except with a skirt and long hair. Excuse me. And I'm allergic. I couldn't get to the mute button in time. I was like seizing as I was trying to hit the mute button and couldn't get there.
You're like LA Knight.
Anyway,
choking on your gum.
Yes. Right.
Wrestling reference. What time is it?
Yes, it is.
52-12.
Here we go.
52-12. There you go. So yeah, I wanted to pick somebody other than Supergirl. I wanted to pick Starfire. I love Starfire, but I picked Supergirl. Tony, you go first this time. You haven't gone first yet in a while.
Supergirl. I mean, like, there's times when Supergirl like could beat Superman. So like, yeah, a very underrated six here. Supergirl easily, especially if you go by the comics.
David Ungar.
Well, we're not allowed to go by the comics, and I am going to save some.
If you do recent CW series, though, she's unbelievably powerful.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you look at that. You even look at her. I mean, you know, you look at her portrayal in The Flash.
Black Adam.
And was she in Black?
Wasn't that Supergirl?
No, I don't think she was
in Black
Adam. I had a crush on Helen Slater back in the day.
Hold that thought for what you're watching, Pat, please. I mentioned it to you earlier. Just trust me. We'll talk. But it was, it's Supergirl. I mean, I've seen enough Starfire from Titans to know how, and all the other shows. Yeah, she's immensely powerful, but yeah, unless you got kryptonite or red sun radiation or some magical something going on. I know Ray picked her, but I don't get it. Supergirl for the win.
Here's why Ray picked her. I'm going to tell you right now, and he's not here to defend himself, so he can rebut next week. The dude is like Mr. Titans. Like, he fucking loves that show. So... yes, I get it. And I think there is an argument to be made with Titans, which is a darker, you know, sort of grittier superhero team, you know, with teens with problems versus the CW Supergirl. Like, let's be real. She's a little, you know, Barbie-ish, if you will. So I can see it. I do get it.
Ray picks Starfire?
Didn't he, Tony? Ray picks Starfire. Yeah.
Dan's got the list. No, he doesn't. It's Supergirl. He picked Supergirl.
Did he?
I emailed it to you. Check your email.
I know. Oh, yeah, so you emailed it 1 minute before the show.
Ray, I take back everything I said about you and your love of Titans and being blind about picking Starfire over Supergirl.
He picked Supergirl.
Dave misrepresented you, and then I went off on that poorly informed opinion. It's like I watched Fox News and just took it as truth.
I'm looking at something different. Sorry.
Let's move into our 3-14 matchup. Battle of Asgardians. Thor taking on Valkyrie. Again, I love Valkyrie to death, but Thor's gonna win that fight. Like, especially if he's got both the axe and the hammer. Like LOL, Thor wins. It just does. Dave, am I wrong?
You are not wrong, sir. I think all things created equal. Thor at maximum power versus Valkyrie at maximum power. You got to go with Thor. I mean, whether he's using Mjolnir or Stormbreaker or whatever the case is, I just think when unless he's fat Thor the whole time, then you get Valkyrie winning this thing. But otherwise, yeah, it's Thor.
Fat Thor was a badass. What are you talking about? Yeah. What did Ray pick? Who did Ray pick?
Ray has Thor.
What did Tony pick?
Thor. Yeah, Thor.
What did DP pick?
It's clearly Thor. I think it's the same thing. It's a bad, it's just a, you know, a issue of the matchup, you know, like if Starfire would have been in like the 10 seed or something, she might have moved on, but she wasn't going to win. Valkyrie could have had a chance maybe against somebody else, but not against Thor.
Right. Which now brings us to another, what I think is intriguing matchup, Rocket Raccoon versus the Blue Beetle 7-10 matchup. We'll start with DP this time because I've been going first. I've been monopolizing the first go around.
I went with Blue Beetle on this one. I think kind of the same, not as obviously as powerful or whatever, but like, you know, kind of some similar technology to like Green Lantern, having being able to create things and use them, you know. And I think that would just be the way Blue Beetle would end up winning this thing. Like, I don't think Rocket's good and all and can, you know, design some cool shit and whatever, but like, as just a, you know, he's stealthy. But I think Blue Beetle would be able to take him down with the technology that Blue Beetle has.
All right. To our favorite DC fanboy, David Ungar.
I tend to agree with Dan on this one. I think, you know, that Scarab is, if it's a stealth battle or, you know, stealing shit, Rocket wins easily. You know, somebody with more PTSD, Rocket wins easily. But once you get to the point of the Scarab involved and the power that that bestows upon Jaime or whatever, whoever he is, whatever name you want to give him, whichever Blue Beetle you're talking about. Yeah, I don't think Rocket fares so well in that sort of a strength versus strength matchup. Yeah, it's Blue Beetle.
PC Tunney?
Yes, definitely Blue Beetle. He's just way more powerful. I mean, even if Rocket was in his ship or whatever, he could still probably beat him.
who did Ray pick?
The Blue Beetle as well.
Well, I'm glad I waited to go last because I picked Rocket.
Well, you lose.
And let me explain to you why I picked Rocket. Because you all are sitting there talking about him in his ship, him being stealthy. He literally fucking invented a way to disrupt an Infinity Stone out of somebody's power. He is an Omega level genius. He is resourceful. He invents shit. He figures out how things work and tears them down. He defeated the High Evolutionary this way. And he's one of the smartest motherfuckers in the room. Tony Stark can't invent an Infinity Gauntlet without Rocket. Like, he's part of it. So it's not about Rocket's firepower. It's what he creates and what he knows how to do and invent. It doesn't matter because I lost 4-1. But the utter disrespect to Rocket Raccoon his ability and ingenuity to create, just fuck you all.
Travesty. Wrong. It's a sham.
It's a miscarriage of justice. You guys Shabakari. Don't even know what you're talking about. What's that?
Nothing.
Yeah, you're not getting no retainers are coming out. All right, that brings us down to our last matchup: Wonder Woman versus Nebula. Tony.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
There's no wonder. It's Wonder. I get you. Yeah, it's Wonder Woman.
There's no wonder. Just a woman.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman.
Ray also has Wonder Woman. I do like enjoy the Nebula character, especially in the final Guardians of the Galaxy. But there's really no. There's really nothing to talk about here.
Dave.
Yeah, I love Nebula too, but she's going to get dismantled, destroyed, and dismembered by Wonder Woman. You know, that's nothing to say.
She can't beat Gamora. What chance does she have against Wonder Woman?
Fair. So Wonder Woman advances. All right, folks. So what that means for this bracket, we have advancing to the next round, Superman, Hal Jordan, Martian Manhunter, Captain Marvel, Supergirl, Thor, Blue Beetle, and Wonder Woman. All right.
Excitement when you said Blue Beetle.
Such excitement.
You know, I love Blue Beetle. Yeah, it's great. He didn't know how to use his fucking suit, but, you know, it's cool. He totally can outsmart the Rocket Raccoon, but, you know, it's fine. You know, making up shit. He's in one movie. He barely knew how to make a sword. Needed like 7,000 people. Anyway, I'm okay. It's fine. You guys, you know what you want. You knew what you wanted. That's cool. Here's my proposal for the next 2 weeks. We did 16 matchups over the course of 4 weeks. I say we continue to do 16 matchups over the next 2 weeks, and we take the first two brackets that we did, and we do those second rounds for next week's show. So that'll take us all the way back to the very beginning. Which I do believe was mutants and the genetics bracket and the non-powered humans brackets. So those will be next week's. We're going to tackle both of those second rounds as determined by the nerds. So the consensus determinations. We will, of course, and I'm begging everybody, like this, we are struggling with traction on these polls. We want to hear from you all, even if it is a wash and a walk. Please vote. Take part in this. It's a lot of fun. Seeing how people either agree or disagree, you know, those first couple of rounds of brackets went really, really well. Gotta keep those out there. Want to see how, if the fans are in the same place as we are. I personally think fans should pick Rocket Raccoon. I just put it out there. I think that maybe the fans should agree with me. I think that these guys are wrong. You can buzz me all you want. Just, yeah, you can throw your hands up like as if, you know,
it
you don't know
me.
What's up.
It wasn't it's okay. Not me.
It can be DP. DP can be wrong, too. It's fine. I just, you know the truth.
Wrong, wrong.
You're
wrong. Wrong, wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong.
That's right. I got basketball to watch. Let's finish this shit up so that I can go watch basketball since you guys disrespect
Illinois
Rocket.
Playing? No.
They're not. Is Marquette playing?
No, they're not either.
You got me. The two teams everybody expected to win, make it to the championship.
Pretty much.
Listen to the pick and roll. Oh, wait. We don't have. Yeah, never mind. Just kidding. All right. Let's head into the final segment of this very, very quick show. Only an hour today because Patrick O'Dowd was lazy, and that's okay. He wasn't lazy. He wasn't feeling well. Like, I'll be clear. I was not feeling well yesterday. It's time for What You Watching. Dave, you've been chomping at the bit to talk to us about What You Watching, so tell us. What you watching?
So I was so tempted to tell you the details, but I just said, I got a good one, and then I said, woof. So like I keep in the back of my mind or somewhere on my phone, a kind of a running list of bad movies, right? Movies that I haven't watched because I know they're bad and I've heard nothing but bad things about it. And I eventually decide, all right, I'm going to get to it. 1984 Supergirl is what I watched this week. And man,
had you not seen that before?
I've never seen that before because all I've heard about it is just horrible things about it.
Wonder Woman, you mean?
No, Supergirl. Not Supergirl 1980, not Wonder Woman 1984, 1984's Supergirl starring Helen Slater. Okay.
Helen Slater.
Man, that's bad.
It's a really bad movie. It's terrible.
Not even Faye Dunaway can save that. And she tries, but even her stuff is bad. And it's just like, and like my wife was saying, my nephew was like, well, is this the same people who did Superman? I'm like, yes, it's the same. It's Alexander and Ilya Salkind. Yes, it is.
No Margot Kidder, no bearskin rug.
No bearskin. And it's like, I'm like, I keep waiting. It's like, where are we going to get? This is 84.
Lots of bad eyeshadow in
I'm
that
like,
movie,
this is 1984. Christopher Reeve
yeah,
is not.
Lots of bad eyeshadow on WrestleMania Night 1, too.
Oh, yeah.
I heard.
Jackie Redman. But we won't go there. But no, I kept waiting for like Christopher Reeve to show up. And I'm like, well, it's 84. He's not paralyzed yet. But he never does. All they do is they have a poster of him on there. I'm like, man, they couldn't even get a cameo from Christopher Reeve in this fucking thing. It is just bad. I kept trying to, even the ending is so stupid. It's like, there's no closure. She gets this Omega Hedron and goes back to her interdimensional home and that's it. That's how we end this fucking thing. I'm like, man, I'm glad I did not spend a lot of time. And it was interesting. Like it was on Max like 2 weeks ago and I almost watched it. Now it's gone. So I ended up like, all right, I'll rent it for like $3 on Vudu. And it just like, man, there's 2 hours of my life I'll never get back. But I just had to mention that because I'm like, I didn't think it would be that bad. And Helen Slater becomes a better actor later on, like Ruthless People, City Slickers. So she comes into her own. But it's like, you know, were they thinking they were going to catch lightning in a bottle twice? Because this, I think, was her debut. And they said, well, we got it right with Chris. Oh, you didn't get it so right this time.
I don't remember what her debut movie was. I will say, my favorite movie with Helen Slater is the Michael J. Fox-led vehicle, yes. The Secret of My Success.
She's great in that.
That is great, great movie where she plays the uptight businesswoman who succumbs to Michael J. Fox's wily charms.
Yes. Well, that, I mean, we all have.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's no Henry Cavill, though. You know what I'm saying? Tony, what you watching?
Wrestling. WrestleMania.
Yeah. It's the busiest time of year. So, yeah, I hear you there. That's it?
The normal, you know, cooking shows and Shark Tank and Survivor, but wrestling.
Gotcha. Wrestling. Cool. DP?
We just got done with season one of A Murder at the End of the World. It's on Hulu. Very solid show. You know, if you're into the whodunits and the mystery type of thing, it's my favorite genre and I'm finding them all over the place right now. So it was really well done out in a remote area of Iceland, and a murder happens and one of the women in the building, it's like a Clue type of thing. You know, they're all stuck there. And you got to try and, you know, trying to deduce how this person was murdered and who did it and where everything's coming from. So those are always fun for me. So we just finished that one up just the other day very good first season. Hopefully, well, they're not, they wrapped it up, so I don't know if there really could be a season two.
Yeah, just murder somebody else, yeah, DP, and call it good.
You, right? You never know. It is such a dangerous thing to do on a series, though, to be like, have this big, like, undercurrent thread mystery thing that then gets solved at the end. You can't, it's hard to go back to that. And Dave, yeah, you're right. Supergirl was her first full-length feature film. She would also shortly after that do a movie called The Legend of Billie Jean.
Yeah, I remember
before making it in Ruthless People in 1986. And that's, you know, really when she did also get a guest, a somewhat recurring role in Supergirl, the CW series, as a character known as Eliza Danvers. Eliza right. Danvers. She did 13 episodes there.
She's
so.
Not bad on the eyes, that's for sure. But just like, no.
She's man. A good actress, you know, just because she's pretty. Why you got to make it all about looks? Why are you so superficial, man? Jeez, did you learn nothing?
I'm just saying, wow. Just an objective observation. That's like, she's
yeah,
pretty.
You objectified that observation. That's what you did. All right. Bam. Okay, I actually have quite a list of things that I've been watching over the last week or so. X-Men 97, if you guys haven't been watching X-Men 97, check out X-Men 97. It's really, really good. Little O'Dowd loved this week's episode as it was an homage to the X-Men video games of the early 90s. Mojo has given up pulling people into a television dimension and throws them into a Sega Genesis-looking game console with the cartridge, but it's actually a riff on the Kitty Pryde and the X-Men video game that was released before the popular arcade one hit. They actually talk about it in a behind the scenes making a feature up. But I used to spend many, many hours at an arcade with this giant, it had like six controllers around the front of it for each of the different X-Men that you could play as, and you could choose to be Wolverine, Colossus, Nightcrawler, Dazzler, Storm,
Bedazzler?
Cyclops. Dazzler. You could be Dazzler for some reason.
Not Bedazzler, Tony. God, no.
Not Bedazzler, Dazzler. X-Men 97 has been really, really cool. It's a lot of fun. My only complaint about X-Men 97 so far is that their storylines, they've taken some of the biggest storylines in the history of X-Men and condensed them into a 30-minute episode, and it makes no sense. Like the whole Goblin Queen story of Madeline Pryor, 30 minutes. They give it 30 minutes instead of a multi-part episode. Doesn't make sense to me.
Well, didn't like the original series was good about that, spacing things out over multiple episodes, right?
Right, like five-part Phoenix Saga, yeah. Five-part Dark Phoenix Saga. Like they did a really good job.
Why do you think they're doing it that? That doesn't seem to make sense.
I don't know. I'm not. There's still a narrative thread too. So the thing about the series that was always true back in the 90s was like there'd be the stuff that you would see week to week, but then there'd be like this other like sort of in tag of every episode of shit that was going on. Like, for example, in season two, the professor ends up in the Savage Land. And that whole story of him and Magneto going through the Savage Land is happening concurrently while the X-Men are dealing with shit back in the United States. And they're doing something like that, too. And I don't want to spoil it for people who are watching it, but something happens in the very first episode that impacts a character, and their story is the sort of the after episode tag that's going on throughout the whole season. So it's just really interesting to check out. I'm still watching the anime series, the Adult Swim anime series, Ninja Kumai. That series is heading towards its season one finale. It's been a lot of fun. Really, really good. I finished reading a book called George Harrison, The Forgotten Beatle. If you are a fan of the Beatles and have watched all those documentaries, like the 6-part documentary, this is a really excellent examination into a guy who for a long time was really misrepresented by like media as to who he was as a musician, what he was really passionate about, including the author of the book, who talks about how when he wrote George Harrison's obituary for his newspaper, he kind of acted like George Harrison was not a good musician and was a like ancillary part of the Beatles, and wrote this book as almost an apology to him and his talent. Fascinating, fascinating guy. I went to the movies this weekend and checked out Dev Patel's new movie, Monkey Man. For those of you, and some of us were people on this podcast who saw this trailer, here people were like, oh, it looks like John Wick, but in India. No, it's absolutely not. The similarities between it and John Wick are Dev Patel wears a suit and kicks people. That's it. That's the story. Oh, and there is a dog that he bonds with for like 5 minutes in the movie, but it doesn't die and it has nothing to do with moving the plot forward. This is Dev Patel's directorial debut. It is a wonderfully shot movie. It is very dense. It is very heavily plot and steeped in the culture and history of India. It looks at its caste system and is an action-packed tale of revenge. It is so, so good. I strongly recommend you check it out. It's awesome. Just awesome. And then last but not least, I introduced, in terms of things I've been watching, I introduced the little O'Dowd to Happy Gilmore this past weekend. He said, and I quote, who knew you could make an entertaining movie about golf? That was his statement, his evaluation. He enjoyed it. He also stated very early, he's like, everybody on this podcast or everybody in this this movie is terrible. Like, he's like, these are all horrible people. We're supposed to like Happy? And I'm like, I mean, I did.
Nothing wrong with Chubbs. Whatever. Come on now.
Chubbs is a good man. And then the last thing I want to tell people to check out, because I got a little bit extra time, I picked up a new podcast that I've been subscribing and listening to. It's not on the Chair Shot Radio Network. I'm sorry. Again, remember, go to ProWrestlingTees.com. Buy a shirt. /TheChairShot. Buy a shirt. Get a soft style. Spend a few dollars more. This podcast has been on for about 4 or 5 years now. It's called What Went Wrong. And it is hosted by two people who I think either work or did work for IMDb. They are definitely people who are familiar with the entertainment industry. They are known within the entertainment industry. And they take a look at both hit movies and flops and discuss the making of these movies and everything that went wrong with the making of these movies. And this is the episode that really hooked me into why I'm sticking with it, or why I subscribe to this podcast. The episode they do about Josh Trank's Fantastic Four movie is fascinating, and I have a new appreciation for what happened to poor Josh Trank in the making of that film. Because when you look at the timeline of what went wrong, it was studio driven. It was not Josh Trank driven. And that's the thing that's really, really interesting, is that the movie that ended up on screen that Josh Trank took the hit for was a movie that was heavily managed by executives at a production company. Because when he said, hey, I want to make a dark, almost not horror, but I want to really explore like this aspect. And this is what I'm going to make in terms of a film. And it's going to be very similar to, I can't remember what his first movie was that made him kind of a hot name. They said, great, go for it. He made that movie. They watched it with, we don't want this movie. And he's like, but I told you this is what I was going to make. And they're like, yeah, we're going to do reshoots. You're still the director, but we're going to have producers. And they basically reshot like the entire movie. And apparently, if you go back and watch this film, you can tell like Rooney Mara, like her wig is all messed up. And you can tell like when she was wearing a wig because her hair was no longer dyed. Miles Teller was coming off of a shoot in Hawaii or something. And so Reed Richards in the original cut was like super pale. They had to put makeup on his body to make him less tan because he didn't look right for the movie. And then they completely changed and shifted the tone of the entire film. They cut out 2 of the 3 fight scenes that were in the movie. Like, it's really interesting stuff. And it's not a judgmental thing. It's just sort of this history of what happened with the movie. I really, really like it. Give it a listen. What Went Wrong? Find it where you get your podcasts. And also, find us where you get your podcasts. Follow the Chair Shot Radio Network. Follow thechairshot.com. Like us. Subscribe. Whether it's on Apple Podcasts, whether it's on Spotify, whether it's on whatever the hell anybody listens to anymore. Wherever you get your podcasts, like, follow, subscribe. We got to get out of here. Gentlemen, let's do a quick watch around. Tell everybody where they can find you out there in the Chair Shot Radio Network universe. This week, we will start with Mr. PC Tunney.
Follow me at PC Tunney. Boom.
Thank you. David Ongar.
Yeah. Follow me on the X Twitter at Attitude Ag, at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression, and at Attitude of Aggression. All one word Instagram and Threads and send money to at PC Tunney.
Sure.
The Scientist, DPP.
You can find me all over the worldwide social media interwebs at It's Me, DPP, and listen to me on the DWI podcast as well. Follow that on X-Force at Podcast DWI or Facebook.com/DWI podcast. I keep doing it because Dave always pops when I say X-Force.
I love it. It's either that or X-Factor, one or the other.
I'm not dealing with the X-Factor.
I miss the 90s when there were 7,000 X-Men teams that people had to follow. All right. You can follow me, of course, on the X Twitter over at Wrestling Realist. That's at WRESTLNGREALIST. Make sure you also follow the podcast itself on the X Twitter at Bandwagon Nerds. Who knows who that'll be? Somebody will put up the polls of the bracket breakdowns for this week's Superhero Madness matchups. Get over there and vote. Have your voice heard. It's something fun to distract yourself today. I put up last week when I was on the show, I put a GIF for every single hero I voted for in the previous poll. So get out there, vote. It's a lot more fun and engagement for us when we have your opinions to share and talk about as well. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Bandwagon Nerds. We still managed to go about an hour and a half because we know how to talk our nerd business. It's a lot of fun. Ray will be back next week when we will cover in our second round the superheroes that are non-powered, round two, as well as the, I think we called it like the mutants. I can't remember what that bracket was described as. Genetics. And I've fallen asleep.
Mutants and genetics, right?
Genetics,
mutants and genetics.
Yeah, the Wolverine bracket and the Batman.
That's right. So make sure you give a listen next week while Dave and I are gone and the inmates run the asylum. I'm sure it'll be a great time. Get out of the basement now, get some sun, and we'll catch you next week. You've been listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Your bad luck, Prof Ock.
Oh, shit. Are you okay? I didn't mean to...
Hey, thanks, pal. Let's get this guy webbed up.
What? No, are you trying to hurt this old man?
Ugh. Look, I saw the portal. I know you're from another dimension. Got way too much experience with that, especially lately. So, trust me, I'm the good guy here, and Mr. Mechanical Arms is not.
You got glowing red eyes, man. How am I supposed to...
Yep, told you.
No, I mean, you're a man who dresses like a bat, and your name is... Well, you know, I mean, like, don't you think that's kind of lazy?